Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. Jeff, we are finally getting there. It's the college football season. Are you ready for it, my friend?
I am, in fact, ready for it, and appreciate Mother Nature helping us get in the mood for autumn this week. So, yes, count me among those ready to get this baby going.
Yes, it has cooled down a little bit of a sense of fall in the air. Nice to have that. This weekend, it's week zero, Penn State not yet playing. Next week, Jeff, we will be talking about actual football. We'll be talking about West Virginia, previewing that game. This week on our show, we've been doing pretty much our season preview with everybody. So I'm going to pepper you with season questions, if that's okay with you.
It is more than okay with me.
Okay. Well, as a starting point, I'd like to use James Franklin's meetup with the press earlier this week. Gave us maybe a couple hints as where, you know, they're headed with a couple of the questions I think we all have. Let's use this as the starting point, which I found kind of interesting. Trey Wallace and Liam Clifford are separating themselves among the wide receivers. Trey Wallace's name being there at the top, Jeff, I don't think is any surprise for anybody. I think it's pretty obvious. He has the best skills among the wide receivers. If anything, I think he's the only one who has the skill set to be an A number one receiver. That's no surprise. Liam Clifford, though, as the other guy who's separating himself, how surprised were you by that?
Definitely surprised. I do think he's a guy that was pretty consistent when he was throwing the ball at bringing it in last year. He's not the guy that you think of in terms of, hey, this is the player that's going to break a game wide open. But I do think there is a lot to be said, and especially with the offense that they are running under Andy Kotelnicki, to having multiple guys who can consistently make the routine plays, make the routine catches. And so I think Clifford's personality and just his approach, maybe we shouldn't have been surprised by that, because I do think he is a guy that maybe is not as athletically gifted as some of the other guys in that room, but which isn't to say that he's not athletic. Again, it's all comparisons, but I do think he is a guy that, much like some of the possession receivers we've seen over the years, can be a guy that is valuable, very valuable, because of that consistency. And again, if you can get those 5 or 6 yard chunks and then occasionally break off a big one, that's a big deal when you're trying to develop a rhythm with your offense.
Do you think sometimes, you know, Liam Clifford was not used a lot last year, and I believe some of us, including you and I, have looked at that and said, he looked pretty good when he was out there. Why are we not seeing more of him? But do you think sometimes this is a matter of a new offensive coordinator, maybe a new set of eyes?
Yep, sorry. I lost you for a second there. Yeah, I do think that that is part of it. I also, and I hate coming on here and just sounding like we're doing nothing but bashing the previous offensive coordinator.
Oh, but, go on. You could do it. It's okay, Jeff.
But I cannot help but wonder. I mean, we've talked about it with Bo Prabula. Like, it just never made sense to me that they didn't utilize him more during the course of the year. I think, you know, perhaps it's much the same thing here with Liam Clifford in terms of not utilizing what you have to take advantage of strengths and cover up weaknesses within your system and or within your players. And, you know, I don't know enough about everything that was involved, but I do know that they needed consistency, players that could go out and make the, again, routine plays routinely last year, and they did not get it. Now, whether that's solely because they didn't utilize the guys who were able to do that, again, Clifford did not have a lot of opportunities, but I don't remember dropped balls by him. Now, again, part of that is he did not have a lot of opportunities to drop balls, but I just, it really does feel, I mean, it felt last year in the moment like they weren't utilizing their personnel to get the optimum performance out of them. I think even more so in hindsight, and when you hear what Andy Kotelnicki and what James Franklin and what the players are telling you about what these different guys bring to the table and how they can be utilized, I don't know that you can draw any other conclusion than Yurcich just did not know how to use the talent he had to get the best production from it. Some of that still, I think, falls back on the players, and I still want to see how that production actually occurs with that receiving core in particular this season. But I do wonder if in those particular instances, Prabula and Clifford, that you just had a coach who, for whatever reason, didn't recognize what he had and how to utilize it.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious, too, Jeff, as you go into your total bashing of Mike Yurcich, saying right, he's a terrible coach, he's awful, how does this guy get on the football field? And I'm paraphrasing what you said, Jeff.
But yeah, something like that.
I approximated it. I summed it up, okay? But whatever your feelings are, it probably was the feelings from James Franklin also, if he let him go middle of the season, something we hadn't seen from James Franklin. So there was some strong feelings there also that perhaps all was not good, you know, in the coaching room. And a guy like Liam Clifford, and I think we all look, though, a guy like Liam Clifford, who looked pretty good in small pieces, but so did Caden Saunders. But have we heard Caden Saunders' name mentioned?
No, and that is one of the concerns for me, Jim, is, you know, if Trey Wallace stays healthy, I do think that he has a chance to be a very good receiver. I don't know. I don't want to necessarily get into the weeds here on what's elite and what's not. I don't know that they have an elite receiver on the roster. But the fact that you have two guys separating themselves, I do think is a little concerning. I mean, it's great that you have two guys that the coaches feel they can rely on. I think for the type of offense they are running and the schedule they are playing and the expectations they have, what you want is five or six guys that are kind of separating and really establishing themselves. And that does not seem to be the case, at least from what we're hearing at this stage of the preseason. So I do think the depth, I guess, in that receiving core is still very much a concern, and therefore the questions about whether that group can be productive enough for this team to get to where it wants to be, I think those are legitimate questions still, and I'm not sure that we're going to really have them fully answered until we get well into October, because the way the schedule plays out, I don't think they need to be great as a unit out of the gate to get the results they need. I mean, we may get indications that, oh yeah, this is really a trouble spot, or indications that, no, you know what, it looks like this group is going to be okay. But until you see them in pressure situations against good teams, I think it's going to be hard to really feel confident about where that group is at.
I agree with you. And you mentioned Trey Wallace and what's the definition of elite. I think Trey Wallace is the only guy in that room with the tools to be elite. Doesn't mean he's going to be, but I think he has the opportunity where, you know, that's the top side. That's doable. I'm not sure there's another guy, you know, in the room who could be a number one receiver, let alone an elite number one. The other name, so popular because of the transfer and his five-star pedigree as a high schooler, of course, is Julian Fleming. And I had some people get on me for pouncing on the one word that James Franklin used to describe him. He's solid. Okay. Solid. You know what? If I asked you about your wife and you said, well, she's solid, you'd be, you know, headed to divorce court probably. So, you know, talking about damning by faint praise. So what is your take? And when they talked about the two that separated themselves, Julian Fleming was not included there, Jeff.
No. And so my question, because we still are hearing good things about what he brings in terms of leadership. So my question really with him, because everything we hear is that he is a good teammate, a good locker room guy. Somebody that, you know, we've heard from a couple of folks that cover Ohio State, and they're like, listen, the guy is a great blocker, which, again, some will say is damning by faint praise. But when you're looking at an offense that wants to get short passes and you want to try to make those into big plays from time to time, that is key. Having receivers who understand the importance of blocking is a big deal. But yeah, my read on that is that what Ohio State saw is what Penn State is seeing. And it's just an inconsistency, either in running the patterns or catching the football or both. And it's not what you were hoping to be hearing, that is for sure, regarding Julian Fleming going into the season. And again, the fact that you have really just the two guys that seem to be drawing the coach's praise, I think is a concern when you're trying to run the offense that Penn State is. You need, again, really minimum four guys that you feel are dependable. And it just does not sound like they have that, at least going into the season.
Well, maybe we should be happy that they have at least two, Jeff. All right, that is it for quarter number one. We've got a lot more to go. And when we come back for quarter two, hate to say it, we're going to pick it up right from where we left off with the wide receivers. I have a couple more questions for you. Stay tuned for that.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Jeff. We're talking Penn State football and kind of doing a season preview. And surprise, surprise, Jeff, we're talking wide receivers. Summing up quarter number one, we talked about how James Franklin has essentially said multiple times that two receivers, Trey Wallace, Liam Clifford, are separating themselves from the pack. And as you pointed out, you'd like to see more than two receivers separating themselves. And I brought up Julian Fleming, where it seemed like James Franklin was giving very faint praise to him, using the expression solid with him. But there was an interesting comment. I think it was Andy Kotelnicki who talked about, well, he had a bit of a slow start to camp. That I believe the quote was something to the effect, I think Julian would tell you the same thing, but that things seem to be starting to click now for him. At least there is that, Jeff.
Well, and I will say, so, and we've seen this with, you know, other guys as well, Dante Cephas certainly springs to mind. But one of the things that I think maybe sometimes we underappreciate is that that move from one program to another and what all is involved. And I get that we've seen guys here and elsewhere make the transition very smoothly. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, that's just the way it goes. But I think if you have a guy, and my impression is Julian Fleming is one of those guys that takes loyalty seriously. I mean, I don't think it was just a heat of the moment thing. Hey, I got to get out of Ohio State and make the move to Penn State. I think it was a very carefully considered decision by him. And I think sometimes you can press. You're trying to make an impression, a good impression, and sometimes that can get the better of you. It's like, hey, just be who you are, whoever that is, and go out and give best effort, but you don't need to be more than you are. And I think, you know, I don't know that that's what happened here with Julian Fleming, but I just think sometimes when you're making that transition, you're still trying to fit in, you're trying to figure out exactly what your role is, and you're working with new coaches, new teammates. They don't know what your habits have been. They don't know, you know, your strengths and weaknesses in terms of the day-to-day stuff. And so, you know, I think it is, as it is with all of these guys, with the new coordinators, I mean, there's a learning curve here for everybody. But so I do think it's encouraging. Kotelnicki's talking about that, you know, he seems to be coming along after that slow start. And again, maybe it was something else with the slow start. Maybe he had a nagging injury. Maybe he just wasn't focused. I mean, I obviously I'm not around him and I don't know, but I think sometimes that transition maybe is a little more difficult, especially if it's somebody that is thoughtful and is trying to kind of take everything into account. And I think Fleming wants to be a leader on this team and a guy who puts the lessons learned from, I think, what was some tough experiences at Ohio State to good use here now that he's with Penn State.
All right, Jeff, in looking at Penn State critically a year ago and therefore going into this season where the question mark is obviously passing game, specifically with the wide receivers that we talked about. But in my looking at it, there's like three aspects to this. Obviously the wide receivers, someone's got to get them the ball. That's the quarterback. And someone's got to draw up the plans. That's the offensive coordinator. So they play a part in this also. Let's talk about Drew Aller and where he is now. And in watching last year, he came up small in the big games. I don't think he could place all the blame on the wide receivers. Some of it is on Drew Aller. What I was interested in is I just saw a statistic just recently. I knew there were drops last year. Apparently, Penn State was in the very bottom or top, however you list it, with number of drops. I think they were listed at 28 drops last season. And boy, that's a tough statistic to carry with you. But looking at Drew Aller, what's your expectation level for him? Is he what he is, what we saw a year ago? Or is this, we'll see a year two bump, year two as a starter?
Yeah, I think you're certainly hoping that you see that year two bump, but I do think it's a big question mark, Jim, and I don't think there's any way you're really going to know the answer to that until probably the Ohio State game. You know, maybe you'll get an indication. We'll see how USC develops, and maybe there's some other teams in there. You know, I have my doubts about how good Wisconsin's going to be this year. I know there's kind of varying opinions on that, but I have my doubts. But maybe that'll be a more significant test. But I think in terms of the questions that most have surrounding Aller, and it's not his talent and it's not his ability to
put up good stats and take care of the ball, because we saw all of that come to fruition last year. It is, hey, in the big moments and under pressure, can you still produce? Can you maintain the good mechanics? Can you deliver the ball accurately? Can you make the right decision and know when you need to throw the ball away and not try to force it? All of those things. And again, we may not get that answer fully until very late in the season. My expectations are that he, I think, will take another step from last year. I think in part just because of the Kotelniki offense and the, I think, more determined effort by coach and player to make sure they are on the same page and that everybody on that offense is on the same page. But I do have questions about that receiving core, and I do have questions about Drew Aller in pressure situations and how he responds. And I'm hopeful for it, and I'm not, if he doesn't produce, he's certainly not the first kid that's ever happened to. But I think it's a very legitimate and very fair question after what we saw last year. And I'm sure it's something that they are focused on and working with him on. I think there's all kinds of different ways you can help a player with that. But at the end of the day, it's kind of the makeup, and it takes a lot to change the makeup. And we'll just have to wait and see again. And Ohio State, by the way, you may be able to take that next step in terms of producing under pressure and still not look good against that team. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of quarterbacks out there in college football that even if given the opportunity, you're going to put up great numbers against that Ohio State defense.
Hey, that's true. And I do expect him to be better this year. The question is how much better will there be a comfort level? But it leads me to wonder about, Andy Kotelniki coming in. And again, just to parrot what you were saying, Mike Yurcich a year ago was, I think, dumpster fire was the expression you used, Jeff, right?
I think that may have been understatedly presumed.
No, I'm paraphrasing, so.
Yes,
so
I agree.
Let's get, but the question becomes, how much difference can a new offensive coordinator make? And there's, on the field, we had someone on who, does a lot of film study, and literally he put out an article with, can an offensive coordinator scheme his receivers open? And his take was, yes, they can. So there's that technical on the field, and he was very complimentary of Andy Kotelniki, but also it's what will be his effect on the quarterback and his confidence. So I guess my question is, how much difference can an Andy Kotelniki make on this offense?
I think he can help for sure, but the one thing with Aller in the two big moments last year, the two big games, and we talked about it at the time, Jim, but the mechanics just were awful in those games, and they were good most of the rest of the season. So while I think that Andy Kotelniki can make a difference in terms of, hey, under pressure and when the rush is right in your face and you get hit early in the game and you take a couple of sacks and you have a drive that doesn't go your way, yeah, you can scheme, but you need your quarterback to still have the good mechanics, to have his wits about him, all of that. And while I do think you can scheme receivers open to some degree anyway, what you can't do is make them catch the ball. And I still think that is a very real concern. It is great that you can get the receivers in position. It is great that you can work on the quarterback's mechanics and have him understand what you're trying to do. You still need the quarterback in those big moments to retain
those mechanics and to have the presence of mind to make the decisions and to not get rattled and to have the same confidence and express the same confidence. I mean, part of it was the body language, Jim, and I thought very early in both of those games with Michigan and Ohio State last year, you could see, I mean, I'm watching on TV and it's like, ooh, this does not look good. And that to me, I mean, that is, can a coach help? Can, you know, I don't know if they're doing anything with psychology and all of that. Yeah, but it's still ultimately the guy that has to go out and produce both at quarterback and then at receiver. And you've got to do it in those high pressure moments if this program is to get to where it's hoping and wanting to get to.
What I think Drew Aller needs is a little bit of Ted Lasso coaching. He needs to be a goldfish.
Yes, indeed.
And for those who don't know the reference, go watch Ted Lasso, okay? All right, Jeff, we've been spending a lot of time on the wide receivers, the quarterback, the offensive coordinator, the whole passing game. Guess what? There are other parts of this Penn State team that we need to look at. I want to ask you first when we get back about the offensive line, then we'll hit on the defense and what's going on that side of the ball. We'll do that right after this break. Stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number three of our show. We are talking Penn State football. We're doing our season preview. We spent the entire first half of our show talking about the passing game. Surprise, surprise. Wide receivers, quarterback. Before I hit the defense, you notice I'm not even talking about the running backs. We know what we got there. The tight end, we know what we got there. Offensive line, it feels like, you know, just yesterday we were always concerned about the offensive line the way we were are this year about wide receivers. They seem to have turned a corner, but they lost a lot of talent. James Franklin talked in his press conference a bit about it. It seems like we're getting to the point where they're pretty set at the offensive line. We know what we're going to have. Drew Shelton, Vega Ioane, Nick Dawkins, Sal Warmley, who is always the forgotten guy. Yep. And then still the competition at right tackle with Adonka and Nolan Rucci. You comfortable with that lineup?
I am, and I think that that group will get better as the season goes along. We've been talking a little bit on the Goon and Ironhead show up here in State College about the way the schedule plays out this year, and for one of the few times in recent years, I do think there's a bunch of things that seem to be lining up in Penn State's favor, that traditionally Penn State and the Big Ten, and just with the schedule in general, just doesn't seem to get the types of breaks that they are having, in my estimation, this season. Starting with the season opener being a noon kickoff instead of a night game. If you've been to Morgantown for a noon kickoff versus a 7:30 kickoff, they'll be pumped. I get it. I'm not saying it's not going to be a great atmosphere, but it is not going to be an atmosphere at noon like you could have had if it was a 7:30 game. So I start right there out of the gate. But I think for this offensive line to gel, the schedule plays out perfectly because I do think they'll be able to get their feet wet against West Virginia. I don't think that's a gimme opponent, but it's a game that they should win, and that defense is not one of the great defenses that Penn State will face or that will be playing in college football this year. West Virginia's strength is on the other side of the ball, no question about it. And so I think Penn State has talent on this offensive line. I don't know that it's as much talent as they had a year ago. I'm not 100% sure that it's not when it's all said and done, but I think this group has an excellent opportunity here to play its way into being a very good offensive line by the time October rolls around. And that's not to say they can't be a very good offensive line right out of the gate. It's just I think they really have a chance to develop. And I do like the depth, the competition that they have going there. I like the veteran leadership along with the infusion of young, hungry talent. And I just think that that group, while there may be a drop-off from a year ago, I don't think it's going to be a very substantial drop-off, certainly when you look at the second half of the season.
What I like about this offensive line, Jeff, is the depth to it. It's not unusual. It is unusual for an offensive line to say, hey, here's our five, game one, and game 12, it's still that same five and remain that way throughout the season. What I like is you have a guy who's not starting is J.B. Nelson in the lineup that I put out there. He's got game experience. You could plug him in very easily if there's an issue. Whoever does not win the right tackle job is a guy that they're still pretty comfortable with getting out there. And we haven't mentioned, you know, Javon Williams, who they seem to be talking about, you know, taking that next step, who has some versatility playing tackle and guard now. And then there's Cooper Cousins, who we've been talking about for quite a while, who has done nothing but impress since he stepped, you know, on a practice field at Penn State in January. So starting five, and then I just named four more players who are potential to step right in, Jeff. I think that's what this offensive line has as its advantage.
I agree, and I also think the versatility of some of those guys, which you touched on with Nelson and Williams and even Cousins, I think that is a huge benefit for the program as a whole and for that unit in particular. And I do think – I guess I understand when you lose three guys to the NFL that you pencil that in as an area of concern. And – maybe my confidence will be proven to be unfounded, and we'll be circling back to this as the season progresses. They may not have the top end talent there right out of the gate this season, but much like the defense might not be quite as good as it was a year ago, but the drop off to me is going to be pretty negligible. At least my expectation is it'll be pretty negligible. And I don't see, you know, either of those, the offensive line or the defense as a whole, being any kind of a detriment or an impediment to this program having success in the upcoming season.
All right, Jeff, I'm going to allow that to be our segue to the defense. So thank you for that.
Let's are quite well.
Let's talk about the defense. Also with the new coordinator, and I've been accused of being a complete and total Manny Diaz fanboy. By the way, Jeff, I plead guilty. Okay. Yep.
Hard not to be.
Yes. I think he was not only, I thought, a really, really good defensive coordinator, but he put out a defense that was fun to watch. And the more you paid attention, the more film you watched of it, the more excited you were, the more fun it was. It was great to watch. My take is bringing in Tom Allen was as good, though, a replacement as you could have expected. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know that fans are still fully appreciating how much Tom Allen is appreciated and respected throughout college football. If you talk to other coaches and the analysts that sit down and break down the films and stuff, Tom Allen and the schemes that he runs defensively, and he did it. Nobody thinks Indiana stacked up talent-wise with, you know, certainly not the Ohio States, Michigans, and Penn States of the world. But every offense in the Big Ten would tell you that even if they knew they were going to win or felt very confident about it and knew they had mismatches personnel-wise, it's like, oh, it is just a headache playing against a Tom Allen-led defense. And now that he is able to just focus on his expertise on that side of the field, I'm with you. Manny Diaz was a phenom. But Tom Allen, I'm just telling you, is as good of a defensive mind as there is in college football. He just is. And I really think when it's going to be a little different, and they lost a lot of talent in the secondary, but man, do they have a lot of talent in the secondary. And I think this defense, it might be going too far to say they won't miss a beat, but again, if they drop off, I think it is going to be such a minimal drop off. This defense is still going to be one of the best in the Big Ten, and I think one of the best in all of college football. I just think there's too much talent. I think Tom Allen's expertise is such that it's almost impossible for this defense to not be very good at the very least. And that is, again, not insignificant when you are trying to get to where Penn State is going to. That's a pretty good place to start with a defense that you have supreme confidence in.
I'm very much with you. I've always said it feels like last year, the year before, they had like 20 starters on defense, okay? And you lose eight guys from that group, that means you still have 12 starters remaining. There's just so much talent still coming back. And the other thing I like with the Tom Allen hire, well, there's actually a few things. The fact that he's been in the Big Ten, he knows this conference, Jeff. He knows the teams Penn State's going to play.
And listen, he also, I think, did have a leg up here over Andy Kotelnicki in terms of being able to make the transition into Penn State, because he studied Penn State. I mean, he knew the personnel. He might not know all of the personalities and all of the things that he does now about these players and the way they approach everything, but he did have a very good understanding of what Penn State had in terms of on the field talent. And I just think I agree. He hits the ground running because of his Big Ten background, understanding, and knowledge. But I just think schematically, and it has to be for him, I think, just an almost surreal moment where you walk into that locker room and it's like, oh, I don't have to scheme brilliantly to have any chance of keeping us in the game, right? Like this is a whole different world in terms of the talent level across the board and the depth than what he is used to. And I think he is going to be very exuberant in the way he has, in the way he utilizes his new tools and is almost not believing what he has at his disposal and how he can utilize that talent.
I agree. He's got to look at this and say, oh, these are now my weapons. They're not going to be used against me. They're going to be used for me. And my last thought on it too is, yes, I'm a huge Manny Diaz fan, but I think sometimes, and I like to compare it like to private industry. Sometimes a company can get a little bit stagnant. Sometimes bringing in some new blood, it doesn't mean they're going to stop doing everything that Manny Diaz was and start from scratch. They still have the ability to do all those things, but now you have a fresh set of eyes to look at things and maybe even take it that next step, do things a little bit different. I sense that Michigan kind of knew what Penn State was doing when they put that seven-man front on third and long, and they seem to be able to figure that out. Maybe a new set of eyes will help them out. That's it for quarter three, Jeff. We got lots more to go in quarter four. Stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Jeff. I'm Jim, doing our Penn State football season preview. Jeff, we were wrapping up the defense when we finished up quarter three and talking about Tom Allen. But also, just looking at the field, you made mention to the number of defensive backs, specifically cornerbacks, that they lost a year ago. And they seem to be vulnerable with it. And this is where I will give James Franklin a lot of credit. He recognized where the hole was, and he plugged it really well.
Yeah, I do think AJ Harris is going to be just an absolute stud for this team, and will make his presence felt very early and throughout the season. And I think that was, and this is no disrespect to any of the other transfers, but I think that was probably, at least in my mind, the biggest get from the transfer portal this off season. Because again, not only do I think he is serviceable, I think he is a superstar in the making here. I just think that the way he plays the position is perfectly suited for the Big Ten and for what Penn State needs to get out of that position. And I think when you you combine that with Cam Miller, and I know there's some fans, I still have some friends that are like, oh, Cam Miller, oh, Ole Miss. I'm like, guys, you're not understanding what you saw there. And I think if anything, that's going to help fuel Miller for this season. But I just have no concerns about him. And I think even, Kimber coming in is big. I just think, and that's just the cornerbacks, and that's not even, you go through the whole depth chart there. I think they're just in remarkably good shape there, considering what they lost a year ago, especially. And then again, I think that KJ Winston, Jim, much along the same lines as AJ Harris, but at safety, I just think that is a guy that is going to take the league by storm here in the upcoming season. And again, there's terrific depth there as well. I mean, and I think Wheatley is going to be really, really good as well. The secondary, just to me, despite losing the NFL talent that it did last year, to me, this is a clear strength, and maybe along with the running back room, the strength of this football team going into the season, at least in my mind.
Well, and also on defense, and you mentioned a couple of these guys being not just good players, but potentially be great players. AJ Harris, KJ Winston, you mentioned. If we follow through on that thought, this is a defense that still has Deny Dennis Sutton and Abdul Carter as defensive ends. The defensive tackles, everybody returns. There's depth there. There's also a couple, like Zane Durant has the potential to be more than just good. And, you know, at linebacker, well, Kobe King, I think, really showed himself well a year ago, but Tony Rojas disguised the limit for him. So it's not just good defensive players. There's several great players on that defense.
Yeah, and I think that linebacking core kind of gets maybe lost in the shuffle a little bit, at least in terms of the coverage or the hype. But I'm with you, and I don't think to me it was not a small or incidental note that both Kobe King and Dom DeLuca are two of the six captains for the team this season. I think that bodes well in terms of what to expect from the linebacker position. But much the same thing. I mean, Rojas obviously has very high expectations, and I think rightfully so. But I think Tamir Robinson is a guy that is on the verge of being a breakout type of player as well. And I got to tell you, the more we're hearing about the move with Dakari Nelson to linebacker, the more I'm getting excited about what that could mean down the road. Again, Nelson might not go in and wreck West Virginia's offense out of the gate, but I think as he makes that transition and gets, you know, a better understanding of it and what all's involved, I really think that is a move that could pay huge dividends, both for Nelson and for that defense as a whole. And much like we were talking about with the offensive line, I mean, I was talking about the versatility of the guys within the offensive line. I think the versatility of what this defense can line up and do. If you had, you know, a Michigan, which again, I get Michigan's not on the schedule this year, but if they were facing a, you know, a Michigan team from a year ago, I think they can go kind of big, both at with their front line and with the linebackers, and play that a little differently. But certainly with this secondary and with the speed they have at linebacker, I just think they can approach and adapt to various offenses very differently and utilize their personnel very differently depending on what the game plan calls for. And I think they'll be able to make adjustments in games. It's, whoa, man, I didn't expect the offense to come out and do this. Well, look what we have over here. And I just think, again, this the talent they have, you start there, but then the defensive mind of Tom Allen and kind of knowing and recognizing, all right, this is something that I think would work here. This is something that I think would work there. I am really excited to see what all this defense does. I think it is a very physical group, and I think they are really well positioned to defend any style of offense that is thrown at them here in the upcoming season.
Yeah, I agree. There's so much talent. There's still, I mentioned that a year ago, I felt like there were 20 guys who could call themselves starters. I think we're going to end up with that kind of scenario also. And also, you mentioned Dakari Nelson, and I'm glad you did. He's moving from safety to linebacker. What's interesting to me, Jeff, is we've had this conversation, you know, Tom Allen, he's going to a 4-2-5 defense. All in essence, what's really happening is a safety is going to be playing linebacker. You'll have linebackers with coverage skills like a safety. By the way, I believe Dom DeLuca, who we just call a linebacker, shifted from safety to linebacker. And that lion position is going to be a safety essentially playing linebacker.
Yeah, and just to stick with the ability to move guys around like that. So Abdul Carter, obviously very excited about the move to defensive end, and I do think he will be a disruptive force there. But I do think they're going to have wrinkles here where a guy who has played a lot of linebacker will be able to drop in. Again, it's going to be specific moments and you know hopefully the right opportunities. But I do think that's a guy that you could see in surprise coverage from time to time. Again, it's not how he's going to be utilized game in and game out or down in and down out, but could you, you know, sneak him back and bring a Rojas up and rush him? Yeah, of course. And just giving different looks, different things for offenses to have to worry about. And I think much the same thing, Jim. I just think the secondary, they'll be able to bring, again, not all of the time, and you don't want it all the time, but strategically, can you bring a cornerback blitz with these guys or a safety blitz? You bet. And again, in the right moments and in the right situations, I just think there's a lot of things schematically they can do to really take advantage of the different skill sets they have on that side of the field.
when you talked about Abdul Carter dropping in coverage, if you remember a year ago, and yes, it was our buddy Manny Diaz doing it, he'd have a seven-man front, and he would drop guys from the defensive end position into coverage. There would be no doubt that Abdul Carter has that athleticism to do that. He's been there. So I agree with you. A lot of flexibility there. All right, Jeff. We are now in the couple minutes we have left. We got to fulfill. This is part of the Keystone Kickoff Show legacy. Okay. When we do our game previews, and we'll do this next week, I'll be asking for a bold prediction for the game. Okay. But now, season preview, you got to give me a bold prediction or two for this season. I'm really curious to see just how bold you can be.
Oh, you know, I like to be bold. there's no question about that. There's a couple of things that I've been mulling over regarding the expectations for the upcoming season and all of that. And Jim, I am willing to boldly say, I actually think Penn State is going to run the table against its Mid-American Conference opponents this season.
You maniac, Jeff. Stumble
against any of the MAC teams.
That's How do you crazy. Like that? Are you sure you want to go out on a limb like that, Jeff? Are you sure?
No, listen. I'll go ahead and hang on that limb. Listen, here is my bold prediction. I think that in New York City, at the end of the year, one of the invitees for the Heisman Trophy ceremony will be one Nicholas Singleton.
Oh.
Not Drew Aller, which I've seen some people predicting. And it's not because I think Aller is going to have any kind of a disastrous season. I just think Singleton is going to have a rebound year, the likes of which we have rarely seen around here. And I think with this offense and the schemes that it is going to utilize, both in the running game and in the passing game, I think Singleton is going to put up some eye-popping numbers when it comes to touchdowns in particular.
That is bold. I like that, Jeff. I really do. And I like you being specific. Our colleague, Andy Shea, and I shouldn't blow this if you haven't seen this, he predicted somebody showing up at New York, but he wouldn't say who, and he said it might be a defensive player. Well, I like the fact that you were specific about it. All right, Jeff, less than a minute to go. You got to give us your season prediction also.
Listen, I'm going to go 11-1, and I'm going to have the loss to Ohio State, and that's not terribly. Penn State is right now, if you look at the books, they're favorite in 11 games. They're an underdog against Ohio State. It's one of those things I really want to go, and I mulled over my bold prediction being that this team would go undefeated and go to the Big Ten championship game. I have to see it happen against Ohio State. And I do think this is Ohio State's best team, talent-wise, top to bottom, certainly under Ryan Day, and probably going back a little ways from that even. And so I just have a tough time calling that. But I'll go 11-1 for the season, and they'll host a playoff game.
Fantastic. I love it, Jeff. That's going to be the last word. Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you come back next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.